أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير صدق الله العظيم. This surah is called Suratul Mulk, which is the first surah of the 29th juz of Quran. It's one of the surahs that carries great virtues for reciting it. There is a hadith in Sunan Ad-Darimi. Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu says, من قرأ تنزيل, whoever will recite Surah Alif Lam Mim Tanzeel, which is Surah Al-Sajda, and Surah Tabarak Alladhi Biyadihi Al-Mulk, كُتِبَ لَهُ سَبْعُونَ حَسَنَةً, that person will get 70 rewards. وَحُطَّتْ عَنْهُ سَبْعُونَ سَيِّئَةً, 70 of his sins will be forgiven. وَرُفِعَ لَهُ بِهَا سَبْعُونَ دَرَجَةً, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exalt his status. 70 status of his will be exalted, either in this life or in the akhirah. These two surahs together, especially, they have great virtue. And when we look at the ahadith, it seems that both these surahs have the same type of effect. And once you get both of them together and use both of them for that purpose, they will serve the purpose much greater and it will be much stronger try from our side of fulfilling the purpose of whatever what these surahs are supposed to do. And basically the greatest thing that these surahs will get us is that they are a protection against the punishment in the akhirah, and especially the punishment in the grave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one of his ahadith, which is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, whoever will recite the surah that has 30 ayahs, that person, the surah will come to the person in the grave and will protect him against the punishment of the grave. Khalid bin Ma'dan radiyallahu anhu, who was one of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that the surah Alif Lam Mim Tanzeel, which is Surah Al-Sajda, and Surah Mulk, تُجَادِلُ عَنْ صَاحِبِهَا فِي الْقَضَرِ, not only that they will intercede, they will even argue with the angels on behalf of the person who used to recite them in his grave. They will go in the grave and they will argue on his behalf if need be. And then finally, these surahs will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللهم إن كنت من كتابك فشفعني فيه, is a very strength argument from these surahs that, Ya Allah, if I am really a part of your book, then accept my intercession on his behalf and protect him against the punishment of the grave. And if I am not from your book, then فمحني عنه, then erase me from your book. Very strong argument. That if I am not of your book, then erase me from your book. And if I am from your book, then I want you to accept my intercession on his behalf.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith, وَإِنَّهَا قَدْ تَكُونُ كَالطَّيْرِ,
it will come in a form of a huge bird that will open up its wings and will cover up this person. So the punishment won't be able to get to this person. Just like we might, many of us might have seen the chicken, how it protects the cheeks, gets it under its wings. This is how the surah is going to get the person under the wings and will not allow the punishment to get to the person.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the intercession of the surah and will take the punishment away from this person in his grave. In another hadith, Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu says, and this hadith is also in Sunan al-Tirmidhi,
Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu says, one of the Sahaba rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, he was traveling, and during his journey he stopped somewhere, and he put his tent over there. He went to sleep, and he heard someone reciting Surah Mulk, Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. So he realized that the voice is coming from under the ground. So he knew that this must be a grave. And he said that Sahabi says he heard that person reciting the whole surah. Then the Sahabi, when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, هي المانعة. This is the surah prevents the punishment from getting to the person. And هي المنجية. The surah protects the person against the punishment in the Akhirah. And this is why it was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it is also narrated in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu says, Jabir, in fact Jabir radiyallahu anhu says, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never go to bed before reciting these two surahs, Surah Al-Sajda and Surah Al-Mulk. It was his habit. Every night he would recite these surahs. In fact, the wordings of the hadith say, كَانَ لَا يَنَامُ حَتَّى يَقْرَأ. He would never go to sleep till he would recite these two surahs. And after knowing these ahadith, we have to know the importance of reciting these surahs, because these surahs are the protection at a point which will be the first step into the life of the hereafter. That is the first step towards the life in the hereafter. If a person is saved in that place, in his grave, then inshallah the rest of the purge will become very easy for him. But if the person gets caught into the punishment in his grave and does not have enough deeds that can protect him in the grave, that's a sign that now he has to wait for the punishment of the Akhirah wal-Iyazu Billah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore he says that the grave is the first step towards the hellfire, and therefore it can be one of the ditches of the hellfire, or it can be a room of the Jannah. So either we make our grave a room of one of the rooms of the Jannah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in another hadith, that when a mu'min is buried, angels, Munkar and Nakir, they come and ask him questions about his Allah, his deen, his prophet. Once this person passes this test, they open a window from the Jannah for this person. وَيُقَالُ لَهُ نَمْكَ نَوْمَةِ الْعَرِيزِ. And the angel said to this person, go to sleep, just like the sleep of a groom. الَّذِي لَا يُوقِظُهُ إِلَّا أَحَبُّ أَهْلِهِ إِلَيْهِ. The groom that no one wakes him up except the dearest person to him at that time, his wife, no one else wakes him up that time. So the angel said to a mu'min, that sleep just like a groom. You are a groom now. And now you are resting here. Just wait until the day of judgment will come and you will go to your place in Jannah. And when a kafir is buried, or a munafiq is buried, or a sinner is buried, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the Munkar and Nakir, the angels come and ask him questions. And of course, he fails in that test. So they fill his grave with fire and tanhasuhu sab'una tinninan. 70 snakes come into his grave and they start biting this person, and the grave starts getting narrower on this person and starts squeezing the person to the extent that his ribs start getting into each other, and he shouts so loud, yasma'uhu kullu man, everything in the world hears that person except the human beings and jinns. They cannot hear him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if they would hear him, they would stop burying the people in the grave. They will not bury any more people anymore. And this is the reason we can't hear. So human beings and jinns are the ones that cannot hear him. Rest of the people hear his noise, his shouts from that punishment. And that continues till the day of judgment, wa a'yazu billah. Is a point that we have to think for a little rest of this life. We sacrifice all of the rest of the akhirah. We are giving it away. Just to have a little rest in this life, that will end in some minutes, some hours. A person feels he's too tired, he cannot perform the prayer. For how long are we going to sleep? 7 hours, 8 hours, it ends there. Then back to work. And we are sacrificing the rest of hundreds of years of under the ground for these few minutes. On the other hand, if we sacrifice this rest of this life, work hard for the akhirah, it will be just a little sacrifice in this life. But see the rest we are buying for this in the akhirah. This is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem, whenever he compares hidayah, guidance, and dalala, going astray, he uses the word ishtarau. They are buying. We have the choice of selling one and buying the other one. He gave us the choice that you can take one of the two, you cannot have both. You can't have all the comfort of this life and all the comfort of akhirah. Either we sacrifice here or we sacrifice there. So we will have the choice, we have the choice of buying one by selling the other one. It all depends what preference we have in our minds. And mainly this preference will depend on our iman in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If today someone would come and tell us, someone from our work, a non-Muslim will come and tell us that tomorrow they will be coming for the accounting at your job. They are going to be taking what you call it?
Audit.
They will be auditing all of your business. This person would not go to sleep. He would be thinking of how to make up for all the things that he messed up throughout the year or throughout the past years. And this person now will keep on thinking about different ways, how he's going to make it up, how he's going to do with it. Or, if we know that tomorrow the boss is going to be watching, and someone have informed us that tomorrow secretly they will be watching us to see how do we work, because they have received some complaints, we will not rest then. Then we will do our best to show them our best performance. This is because we believe that person who told us, and we have the importance of that work, of that job. If we believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have the importance of having the rest under the ground, and we believe that that will be the long life that we, when we really need some rest, then this is the life to work. Then this is the life to sacrifice. There are people, and especially Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jma'in, tabi'in, the great people of the Ummah, when you read their life histories, their biographies, you feel that this is a person, when you read about their death, really you feel that this is a person who was very tired now, and he needed some rest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, enough, now come back to me, you need some rest. He provides him that room under the ground, where the door from the Jannah will be open for him. He keeps on getting nice breeze from the Jannah, keeps on looking into the Jannah, and then he goes to sleep and wakes up, will wake up on the Day of Judgment to go and walk into the Jannah. On the other hand, when we sacrifice, wal-ayaz billah, we sacrifice the Akhirah, and we give preference to this life, and we'd like to get all the rest just in this life, working hard just for this dunya, then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this person that now you have been running away enough from me. Now is the time that you have to come back to me. And then the person is put under the ground, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that the ground, his grave, will talk to him once he will go under the ground and will say to him that you are one of those people who was committing a lot of sins. I was tired of you being on top of me. I was waiting for you that you would come under me, and then I will do what I would like to do with you. And then it will stand squeezing the person. So imagine, what are we doing to ourselves? Usman radiallahu anhu, when he used to go to the cemetery, he would cry so much that his beard would be soaked in the tears. So people said to Usman radiallahu anhu, then when you talk about Jannah and Jahannam, even when you talk about Jahannam, you don't cry so much, but when you come to the cemetery, you cry so much. He said, because this is the first step where it will be decided where are we supposed to go, and where we find out where are we going. So this is the step that scares me the most. Because if we prepare for this step of our life, then inshallah the rest of the parts of the life, the remaining steps in the Akhirah will become easy. So one of the things that is very helpful in preparing for our life of Akhirah, and especially for preparing our place in the grave and having a peaceful place under the ground, is reciting these two surahs, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Tabarak Alladhi Biyadihi Al-Mulk. It doesn't take too long to recite these surahs, and especially once we will get used to it, not more than 7-8 minutes maximum will take us to recite these surahs. But imagine what is it that we are getting by spending these 7-8 minutes. All the virtue that we are getting from reciting the Quran, that's there, but the protection that we are getting under the ground, which we really have to think about it. If we know that we are going somewhere, and no matter what, we have to be there, and we have to suffer, but there are few things, if we carry them with us, it will be a good protection for us there. People who go for Hajj, we all know how many preparations we make for going to Hajj. It's too hot over there, and it's too crowded, this is there and that. We think about all of the things that we will be facing there, and try to make the best preparation we can, just so that we will have the comfort over there. So we are going over there, this journey that we will be traveling, we will not be coming back to our homes. Here we know that after 10 days, 2 weeks, we are coming back to home. But over there we all know that after saying goodbye to our families, we are not coming back to them anymore. That's it. Once the person is gone, is gone, is not coming back. And now that's a long journey over there. One of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, At the time of his death, he was crying. So people asked him, why are you crying? Did you love this life? You don't want to die? He said, no. He said, I always wished to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not running away from death. But I was hoping to live for longer so that I can fast in the whole days and perform salah during the night time when people are sleeping. At this time, the death have come to me at a time that I'm not yet ready for that long journey because I do not have enough preparations for that journey. If a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam feels that way, then what's our situation? So we have to really prepare for it and just sacrifice some life of this life, some rest of this life. All this is all we need to do. Just little rest of this life we need to sacrifice. What is it? We have to really, if we really look into it, it's nothing. It's immaterial, really. This life and the rest of this life. How many times we work so hard to get something that might be very expensive. Use it for some years, then we lose the value of it. Has no value whatsoever then. So this is exactly what will happen to everything of this life. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. The wise is the person who controls his desires and prepares for the life of akhirah. Wal-ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna ala Allah al-amani. Loser is the one who keeps on following the desires and then tamanna ala Allah al-amani. Keeps on having long hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Ghafoor al-Rahim and His Rahman al-Rahim and all of these ayahs of the Quran, and the person doesn't want to perform the salah, he doesn't want to fulfill the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which simply means that all of those sahaba and the people of the ummah who worked so hard for this deen, they worked for it for nothing, and Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim, they are going, everyone is going to Jannah anyway, they did not lose that effort. Of course, Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim and we hope for that mercy. But there has to be something we have in our hands to show Allah, Ya Allah, I tried my best and I hope for your mercy. Because with all of what we will take from us, it's not enough to take us to Jannah. So once we take something with us, then at least we can hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and can go and say, Ya Allah, I hope for your rahmah here. One of the scholars, I went to him, he passed away recently. I went to him and at that time he was talking about death. This is 4 or 5 years back in Medina Munawwara. So he said to me, he was remembering his death at that time and he was crying. So he said to me, he said, when you go to a person and you give him some flowers, and you and that person, both of you know that these flowers are not real. They are fake flowers made out of plastic or papers. And you offer that person these flowers. He accepts that nice gift from you. He regards the gift. He thanks you for it. Although he knows there is no smell in these flowers. And the main thing in the flowers are the nice smells, fragrance that you get from the flowers. He says, same thing are our deeds. He was saying that I'm going from this life. I have nothing to show it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says, I have a great hope. Because we kept on trying. And our salah is without any khushu', without having any concentration in the salah. And it's not a real proper salah. But at least these are just like those fake flowers. We can offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, this is the best I was able to do. I tried my best and this is what I was able to bring you, Ya Allah. Now I hope that you would accept this from me and just take me to Jannah. So at least we have to have these fake things at least. And whatever we try our best will be the fake thing that we will offer. It won't be the real one. The subject is going too far, but it reminds me. One of the scholars, two of his students, once they said to him, that we know that you are a great person, you are a great scholar. And this is a very true incident. with all of the greatness that we know about you, we will accept and we will believe that you are such a nice person, a great person. You know, the relationship of teachers and students, if it is that type of relationship. We will accept you as a great teacher and great person if you will make us perform 2 rak'ah salah, just like Rasulullah, how Sahaba Radwanullah Alayhi Majma'in used to perform it. Then we will know that you're a great person. Just make us perform 2 rak'ah salah the way Sahaba Radwanullah Alayhi Majma'in used to perform it. So this person said, that's something that you have to try. But after Isha, just perform 2 rak'ah salah and try your best and then leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are times that a person is in a good mood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person is a virtuous person, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feels like doing something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen the way he wants. That person must have thought about, that's fine, you will get it tonight. So the student, at night time, he went to perform the salah. He said, okay, he told me just to perform 2 rak'ah. He started performing 2 rak'ah salah. So he performed 2 rak'ah salah, and after doing 2 rak'ah, he said, they were not as good as I can. I can do it better. And he performed 2 more rak'ahs. After these 2 rak'ahs, he thought, I can even do it better. And he performed 2 more rak'ahs. Every time he finishes with 2 rak'ahs, he feels, I can do it better, and he performs 2 more rak'ahs. He spent the whole night performing salah in this manner. 2 rak'ahs after 2 rak'ahs after 2 rak'ahs. And at the end of the night, when he realized that the night is ending, it's almost time for Fajr. So he started asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. That, Ya Allah, still I might be able to do it better. I can try more. I don't have time now. Ya Allah, allow me to do it better. And he's doing istighfar, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the morning when he went to his teacher, the teacher asked him, what happened last night? He said, now I know that how Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in used to perform the salah. The students sing. How did he find out? He says, now I realize that when we hear about Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in performing salah for the whole night, standing for long time during the night time, these were the feelings of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. This is not enough. I want to do 2 more. I can do it better. And he performs 2 more. And he says, no, I can do 2 more. I can even do it better. And then at the end of the night, they will be seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. This is what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran about Sahaba. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ They used to sleep for a very short period of time during the night. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ And in the last portion of the night, they will be doing istighfar. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. This is how they used to perform the salah. So he taught him how to perform the salah the way Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum used to perform it. The 2 after 2 and keep on trying our best. I can do even better. Let me try go for 2 more. I can do even better. Let me try for 2 more. And those of us who work on computers, you will be able to understand this very well, that you try to do something on your computer and then you feel that you can do it in a better way. Let me just try 1 more way. And you do it the other way. And there might be another way of getting it better. Let me try that way. And a work that we thought will take us 10 minutes, we end up spending 4 or 5 hours in front of the computer thinking that there might be a better way of doing that work. And this is in every field. How many times we sit with something, might be a small watch in our hand that doesn't even work a couple of dollars. The belt is broken and we feel, I can fix it. And the person is sitting with his watch now. He brings the screwdriver. It takes him 5-10 minutes looking for the screwdriver. Now, he keeps on working with it. and he broke something else, he damaged something else, he's fixing this, fixing that, and he spends hours on this watch that doesn't worth even some dollars. He can very easily go and buy another watch for $5-$10, but he spent 4-5 hours just trying to fix this watch, wasted all of that time for nothing, and we don't realize that these type of things have no value. If we have the value of the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of preparing for akhirah, this is how we will be thinking about our ibadahs. I did not do it real good. Let me try the other way. Let me do two more. And after the person performs a lot of salah, he feels still it's not the way I wanted. And let me recite some Quran. Try something else now. Try it that way. Still, I feel like reciting some Quran. After he recites the Quran, he's not satisfied. Something from within him telling him, you have to do more. You have to do better. He says with tasbih and subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And now after he finishes with this, he feels, now I have to do something more, and keeps on doing istighfar. So these type of thinking do not allow the person to rest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, if the animals will know what is it that they will be facing in the akhirah, that human beings will be facing in the akhirah, and what people will be facing in the akhirah, if animals will know that, you won't have any healthy animal, you won't be able to get any meat from the animals, you will have only bones because of the hard work they will be involved in. In another hadith he said, if you people would know what I know, لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. If you would know what I know, you would cry more than you laugh. How much do we cry and how much we laugh? He said, if you would know what I know, you would cry more than you laugh. And وَلَخَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّعُدَاتِ تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And you would leave your homes and run into the jungles, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you against all of those punishments that you will be facing in the akhirah. It's really a fact of our life. It's something that we all have to go through it. It's only trusting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once we trust him, believe me, then working hard will become very easy for us. We all have the ability of being hard workers. In our fields, we are working hard. People must be very happy in our job, at our workplace, wherever we work, that this person is very hardworking. And those of us who have some people working under them, we can understand the situation even better. If we have some people working under us at our workplace, whether we are the owners or we are just foremans or we are people who are in charge of some people, we expect those people to work very hard. Not to waste any time. Not to be running here and there. Use the time because I'm paying you for it. And if we see the person wasting his time, we'll tell him, I won't pay you for this time. And we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pay us for all of this time that we spend in this life. And the time that we did not spend for working for him. In fact, wal'ayazu billah, many of those times that were spent in disobeying him, and we still expect that we get paid for it, and we get good results out of those things. This is something that we all have to think about. And mainly, as I said, the main thing is that we have to trust Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for what he's telling us of what we will be facing under the ground after we depart from this life. And after that we will go to the question is, when is it that time? When is it that we will be facing that thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us and that we are talking about from the ahadith? Is it next year? Or after 20 years or 30 years? No one knows. It might be the next moment. This has to be our iman. Sometime we talked. And in my mind, I know that these people might go, but not me. But really, we have to set it in our mind that tomorrow I may not be in this life. Tomorrow I may not live in this world. Every night, especially night time, we have to make it a habit when we go to bed. We have to remind ourselves. And just say to ourselves that I'm not coming back. I'm sleeping and not coming back. What is it that we are supposed to recite when we go to bed? Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. O Allah, on your name I die, on your name I live. Which simply means is almost a death now. The person is out of this life. Doesn't know what's going on around him. Nighttime when we go to bed, if we just remind ourselves that I'm leaving this world. I'm leaving my family, my children, my wealth, my life, my everything, I'm leaving it behind. That's it. I have nothing to do with it anymore. I'm not coming back. Just say this to yourself every night. And then see what voice comes back to you. What does your nafs talks back to you about it? Was it that something tells us from inside? That are you ready? Not ready? If you are really going, what if you really won't come back? Then what preparations you need for over there? This is something that we have to tell ourselves every night. I'm going and not coming back. Then we lay down. We just concentrate on our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I'm coming to you now. And if not today, tomorrow. Believe me that tomorrow is not far. That tomorrow really comes so fast that those people who are gone, ask them. They were just sitting like as they thought they will live for another long life. Just like as at this time might be our situation. We really feel that we will be living for some time. Each and every one of us feels that, I'm going to live for some time. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was so prepared and has this yaqeen, this iman so much that he says, when I take a glass of water, the time I hold it in my hand to drink it, I'm not sure whether I will be able to get a single sip from it or not. Or I'll die before taking the sip from this glass of water. That's in his own hands. And we feel, my plan after 2 months or 3 months or after 2 years is still I'm going to do it. We are certain about doing those things. And he wasn't certain about drinking a sip of water from the glass that he's holding in his hand. This is iman. We might want to talk about the wisdoms of the ibadahs and the philosophy behind the ibadahs. But these are very basic things that we normally don't talk about it. And people run away from talking about these things. We would like a speaker who would come and tell us great things about the wisdoms that people have found out. The physicians have found out in performing the different type of ibadahs. And the wisdoms behind it, that he thought about them. And he thought that these might be the wisdoms. And the akhirah we find out that none of them was real. But we like to hear about all of these things. And apply the ayahs of the Quran to the signs. Great. Believe me, we are just satisfying another desire of ours. We are just satisfying one more desire. Just like we fulfill many other desires. I desire some nice food, I go and eat it. I desire some rest, I go into bed and sleep. And same way, I desire some knowledge. This is our habit. We all love knowledge. No one likes to remain ignorant. I desire some knowledge, so I like to increase my knowledge. And one of the ways of satisfying my knowledge is learning high things that will be more of theories than practical things that I can do in my life, so that I will satisfy the desire of my knowledge. I get entertained by hearing these type of things. This is a way of entertainment, really. Our nafs is misleading us. The shaitan is misinforming us. Shaitan tells us you are getting all of this knowledge to please Allah. Oh, it's knowledge, it's deen, you are learning deen. This is what Shaitan tells us. But let's ask ourselves and ask the Shaitan al-Rajim, if it is really for deen, then what are we doing with the one that we know about? Where is that? So these are the very basic things of our iman and our deen. And if we look really at the life of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, you will see Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een talking about these type of things. And once they change the subject. Once they change that subject. And they started talking about something different. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his house. He came out to the masjid and he saw the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in discussing about the destiny. Taqdeer. How does it work? How things take place? He stood there for some time and they are discussing it. His face turned red. He's sweating. Angry. He said to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and look at his words. He's a prophet of Allah. His words are very important. And especially at this occasion when he's angry. And he wants to give them the instruction about discussing things that is not none of their business. They have nothing to do with it. Although it's part of our iman. But how does it work? What is it that I have to do with it? He has to make it work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, أَلِهَذَا خُلِقْتُمْ? Are you people created for this purpose? Imagine. Are you created for this? Or was I sent with this type of message to you people? The people prior to you, the previous nations, were destroyed because of getting involved in these type of things. Or people, just do what you are supposed to do and discuss things that will help you. Imagine. And especially these first words remind us that what type of discussions we need to have in our gatherings. أَلِهَذَا قُلِقْتُمْ أَمْ بِهَذَا بُعِثْتُ إِلَيْكُمْ? Are you people created for this purpose to discuss about these things, how Allah is running the universe? Let Him run the universe. Or, was I sent to you people with this type of message? What message did I deliver to you people? Discuss those messages that I taught to you people, I delivered it to you people. And do the things that will help you fulfill the purpose of your creation, not the other things. So I was mentioning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us of Akhirah again and again. And he says in one of his ahadith, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَزَّادِ. Remember the thing that destroys all of your desires. That will destroy the desires. Al-Mawt, which is death. A person is going for outing with his family. And at that time he remembers the death. What do you think will be the situation of that person? He remembers that he will be dying soon. He looks all around and now, as soon as he will remember the death, the situation of the heart will change. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَزَّادِ. Remember the thing that will always destroy your desires, and remember it in abundance. And then he said, الْمَوْتِ, and that is death. So I was mentioning every night, this is something that we really owe it to ourselves, we ought to do it to ourselves, that when we go to bed, just say to yourself, you are not coming back. And just really, we have to make ourselves believe that I'm not coming back. At that time, something might tell you, because alhamdulillah, we all have iman. Really, the iman is there. It's covered with sins. When we think about death, when we talk about akhirah, we are scratching all of these sins that are on top of this iman, and all of a sudden the nur of iman starts lightening up. So once you would say to yourself that you're going and not coming back, your heart will tell you, that still you have two more rak'ah salah that you did not perform from yesterday, last Fajr, you missed it. What if Allah will ask you, get up and do the two rak'ahs quick? Now the person will remember, there are a few things I'm missing, let me do them quick, because what if I really would go and won't come back? Now the person, as he will be going to sleep, will be seeking Allah's forgiveness. Ya Allah, I'm coming to you. Now I can't do and much more. This is the time I have to come back to you. We can't really stay for the whole night. So we are coming back to you, Ya Allah. Now I'm laying down and coming back to you. All I need is your forgiveness and your rahmah, Ya Allah. If every night this will be our relationship with Allah, we will be talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing istighfar while we are going to bed, then we won't be seeing all of those shaitanic dreams and having all of those bad thoughts that we normally have at the time of going to bed, thinking about all the other problems of the life. That will be the time that we will really have a nice time. We will have a real good time at the time that we feel like I'm talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah for all of my sins. Ya Allah, I need your help. And in this status, the person will go to sleep. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended us that when we go to sleep, we should have wudu. We should have wudu when we go to sleep. So that will keep us in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is clean and pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clean. He likes the people who remain clean. And when we have wudu, this is a requirement for salah, because we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing, if we keep the wudu all the time, then we will be standing, we will be sleeping, going to sleep or spending the whole day in a status that we really can talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is something that we need to do. It's a long subject, is needed, but let's go back to this ayahs and at least go to some of the ayahs I was mentioning. And we got into that subject because of the effect of the surah, Surah Al-Mulk, that we are talking about, and we have the tafsir of today. That the effect of the surah is, it's a great protection against the punishment in the grave. It will come in the form of a bird, will protect the person, will cover up the person, will intercede on his behalf. If the angels will not accept, it will argue and it will talk to Allah. Ya Allah, if I'm part of the Quran, then accept my intercession and protect the person against the punishment. And if I'm not part of the Quran, then erase me from the Quran. And if you don't want to accept my intercession, take me out of the Quran. Strong argument. So it will be something worth it taking with us and spending time for it every night before we go to bed. And we should make our families, our children of the same habit of reciting these surahs. And inshallah, if we make a habit of reciting them every night, after some time you will memorize them. And once the person knows them by heart, then after Maghrib till Isha, till we go to bed, we have enough time that we spend here and there. While doing any work, we can keep on reciting the surahs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Tabarak, really, the word means barakah, is driven from the word barakah. And barakah means having more blessings. Always having barakah means having more blessings. And for this reason, all the translators, or at least many of them that I have seen, they have translated the word, this ayah, as blessed he. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessed. But really, in this ayah, we cannot use the word blessed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to use the word glory. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot have more blessings than what He has. He doesn't need someone to bless Him. So it's not a proper word to use blessed He. We will be using glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's already great, as we say Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. It's another way to say glory to Allah. الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, the one who has the kingdom. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he is capable of doing everything. Glory to Allah. الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two of his qualities. Number one, بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. He has the kingdom. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word yad. Yad means hand. And these type of words that are used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are called mutashabihat. And what is mutashabihat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem about these type of words about mutashabihat in Surah Al-Imran. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Those people whose hearts are not straight, hearts are going in the wrong direction. In our slang language, we might say hearts are crooked. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Those are the people who will run after mutashabihat. And sometimes they feel that we are not really doing something wrong because we are just trying to figure out the meaning of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people will go after mutashabihat for one of the two reasons. Either ibtigha al-fitna, they are looking to create a fitna amongst the ummah, or ibtigha ta'wili, or to get the meaning of it. But وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. No one knows the real meaning of it except Allah. So these people are running after it for nothing. And whether they are trying to create a fitna by running after these ayahs, or they are trying to seek the knowledge and get the meaning of it, in both cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. Their hearts are not straight. Something is wrong with these people. So, when the ayahs will talk about different parts of the bodies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these ayahs are of al-mutashabihat. We don't know how are the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know how are the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ayahs talk about the face of Allah. We don't know how is the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one has seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we cannot have any imagination of any form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nur. And not only that, He is nur, even hijabuhu nur. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, even the hijab He has, that means the cover between us that does not allow us to see Allah, they are also made out of nur, because if it wasn't made out of nur, anything else will not be able to keep that nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala away from our eyesight. We will see him inshallah on the Day of Judgment, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have promised, that people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and this will be the greatest blessings people will be receiving in Jannah. When we talk about higher status in Jannah, this is really what will be the higher status. The closer the people are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course the highest status will be of Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. And amongst Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will have al-maqam al-mahmood, that we pray that he would have after every adhan we are supposed to make dua for him. He will be in that status, and all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam will be closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then people will be in the Jannah according to their status. The closer that person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is higher, which means the higher the person is in the status of Jannah, the more he will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the minimum we will see Allah, the people in the lowest part of Jannah, at least they will see Allah once a week, and that will be the most important time and the best time for the people in the Jannah, when they will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that will be the greatest blessings we will have there. Now with all of this, again takes us back to the same point, that if we have to see Him all the time, and He's the one that we feel is the greatest blessing to have, so in this life, if we cannot see Him, then we have His kalam, we have His name, we can read His name that we have in this life. So if we keep on reading, reciting His name, repeating His name, and His kalam, which is Quran al-Kareem, inshaAllah, we will have that closeness to Him. We will be attached to Him. We will have the link with Him. And that will allow us to see Him, inshaAllah, in the Akhirah also.
So I was mentioning this word yud is mutashabihat. We will say who has the power of everything, who has the kingdom. Al-mulk alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Who has the kingdom. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir.
The second quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah, that he has the he is capable of doing everything and he is all powerful.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. These ayahs also need some explanation, therefore we will leave them for our next session inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to surat al-mustaqim. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.